Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, April 14th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Sarah McWhorter. Sarah and her husband Scott and their son Daniel are active in the life of Mountain Brook Baptist, and Sarah actually grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist, so I look forward to talking more about that at the end of the podcast. Thank you, Sarah, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Today's reading is 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, "When you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and he may ask you, 'Why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal-Sheth? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebez? Why did you get so close to the wall?' If he asks you this, say to him, 'Also, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead.'" And when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance to the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it.' Say this to encourage Joab." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining the podcast and for reading that very difficult passage. It's a very sad passage. And thanks for not chickening out after I told you what that passage was going to be.
It surprised me.
I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I'm originally from right here in Birmingham. I grew up here at Mount Brook Baptist Church. Been coming here since I was born. My dad has also been a member here since he was a baby. My grandparents joined the church in the mid-40s after the war, and it has just been part of our family for as long as I can remember.
So tell me your parents' names.
Linda and Richard Compton.
Okay, and so Mr. Richard grew up in the church. Yes. That's so cool.
Yes, some may know him as Dickie.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, so tell me about your growing up years.
So I was involved in a lot of things. I played junior golf for most of my childhood and through high school. I was on the Mountain Brook High School golf team. I did not play college golf. Wanted to pursue other things in college. I also grew up dancing, and I was on the dance team in the junior high and the high school. And then into college, I wound up being a member of the Auburn Flag Line with the marching band.
So cool.
Yes. They didn't have a dance line at the time, and so that was the next best thing that I could do to continue performing in halftime shows.
Tell me about what you studied at Auburn and then maybe how you use that in your career.
So I majored in accounting. Ironically, I started off majoring in interior design, which is a 180.
Yes, it is.
I realized very quickly that I did not have the artistic talent that one needed to succeed in interior design. Interior design is much different than decorating.
Yes.
So after my freshman year, I changed my major to general business. And then after my sophomore year, had done well in my accounting classes and fell into the accounting path and chose that as my major. And that opened a lot of doors, a lot of opportunities into the world of public accounting, where I began my career, sat for the CPA exam and was fortunate enough to pass that, and was in public accounting for 6.5 years before changing to corporate and went into the corporate world and worked at Thompson Tractor for 11 years.
And you've recently made
another
change,
just recently,
right?
Yes. After 11 years, it was a tough choice. But this past year, we had our first child, our little boy Daniel, and it just came time to focus on being a mom and focus on family. And my career had been such a focus for so long. And so I'm very fortunate that I'm now able to work part-time and spend more time with our little boy, Daniel. So I now work for a firm, a relatively new firm called AdSource Group. And they're a placement firm that specializes in placing professionals, accounting and HR professionals, with companies who need a resource on a part-time basis. So I work for a company and help them with their month-end closeout and then have the rest of the month to spend more time with Daniel and get to participate in church activities
and
just like this.
And come read for the podcast.
Yes.
So wonderful. Okay, I want to back up. How did you and Scott meet?
So ironically, he is also an accountant, and I suppose you could say the accounting profession brought us together in a way. we have a mutual friend, one of my dear friends that I grew up with from the time we were little, Bentley Smith Sloan, and she had worked with Scott in a public accounting firm, and then also later he works for Alabama Power, but as part of the Southern Company family, they worked at a subsidiary together. And so we had that mutual connection, and she decided that she should introduce us.
Well, now I want to hear about Daniel as well. How old is Daniel, and what is he into?
He will actually be 14 months old this weekend, and he is into everything.
Literally.
Literally everything. We're so close to walking, but we're not quite there yet. But he crawls all over the house and wants to explore everything. Everything is interesting. He's a curious little boy, and he points to everything and wants to see it and wants you to take him to it. And he's so much fun. He's so much fun.
Does he look more like you or more like Scott?
It depends. It depends on the angle and it depends on the day. And sometimes I can't tell who he looks like, so I say he looks like Daniel.
Okay, that's a good one. He is Daniel. Tell me about some of your hobbies and your interests.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I played golf a lot growing up, and that that love has continued. And I have not played as much since becoming pregnant with Daniel as I would like to, but hoping now with this career change, or well, not career change, but job change, that I will have more time to get back out there on the course and, yes. and get my game back in shape, because it's something that I've always enjoyed. It's always been a family sport, something that my parents and I always did together, and I'm hoping to, once Daniel's big enough, be able to pass that along to him and have that as something else we can share. He already has his first set of clubs that my dad has has gotten for him. We're just waiting for him to grow into them.
Never too little.
That's right.
Sarah, how did you come to faith in Jesus?
Having grown up here in the church, and I was thinking about this morning, I don't think that there has ever been a time, at least that I can remember, that I didn't believe in Jesus, that I didn't know who he was, that he was not part of everyday conversation. Mom and Dad had me here at church all of the time, every time the doors were open, it seemed. And so faith has just always been part of my life. And I'm very fortunate in that. A lot of people have dramatic testimonies. And there was a period of time in my life that I felt bad that I didn't have a dramatic testimony. But then I came to realize how very blessed I am that it's just always been part of life. And Scott and I are hoping that we can have Daniel grow up in that same way, that it's just always part of his life. Mm-hmm. But I walked down the aisle to join the church and be baptized when I was 8. I was in the second grade, and Dr. Mobies was the senior minister at the time. And he and I had a special relationship. And I remember distinctly the day that I walked down the aisle, and I hadn't told my parents I was going to do it. It was a surprise to everybody. And I hadn't really thought about it too much leading up to it either. I just decided that day I was going to walk down the aisle, and so I did.
Wonderful.
And I remember the hug that he gave me, and I remember being baptized. That was a very special day, and all my family came to support me, and So I officially, you know, I guess became a Christian in that way when I was in the second grade, but it's always been part of my life.
Sarah, has there been a time in your life or a season when you felt the Lord at work in your midst?
There have been several throughout the course of life, and some happy times, some not happy times, and it's always interesting to look back and reflect on how the situation turned out. One significant extended season, I guess you could say, was over the course of my mom's battle with cancer that lasted almost 13 years. And seeing her battle and all that she went through with that, and especially towards the end, and the time that she had with all the treatments, and even after we lost her in August of 2020, walking through that that long road of grief that even still has not ended, and I don't know that it ever will. Seeing the strength that the Lord can provide is nothing short of amazing, because there's no way that she could have survived as long as she did without his strength, and there's no way that my dad and I could have gotten through this without the Lord's strength as mm-hmm. well.
Tell me a little bit more about your mom's diagnosis.
Mom was diagnosed with a relatively rare form of cancer in 2008. It's called leiomyosarcoma, and most oncologists never see a case of it in their entire career. But she was very fortunate that her oncologists here in Birmingham at the Bruno Cancer Center were very supportive of her, seeking treatment from a specialist at Sloan Kettering in New York City, who that's all she focuses on, is this particular type of cancer. And she had a wonderful team in both New York City and here in Birmingham, including one of our fellow church members, Dr. John Peaty. He took excellent care of her throughout the entire duration. And her doctors in New York, she underwent a couple of surgeries in New York and would go back at least annually, sometimes more than once a year, for checkups with her specialist in this form of cancer. And it's a very slow spreading type of cancer. And her specialist, Dr. Marty Hensley, wonderful woman, very intelligent, just salt of the earth. You know, she and Mom got to be great friends. I still send her Christmas cards. And that was the great thing about Mom, was she never met a stranger, and she made friends with everyone and all of her doctors and nurses and her entire care team. And part of that also was she was a big believer in being your own advocate and understanding and learning as much as you possibly could about your diagnosis and about the treatment plan and everything about the whole situation. And so in doing that, she made great friends with so many people, and people that my dad and I still keep in touch with.
And so, she was such a witness to Christ's love.
She was.
Share with us a little about your mom's personality.
She loved to have fun. She always had a positive attitude and a smile on her face, and she was never afraid to speak her mind. She would always, you always knew where you stood and what she thought about something. She was funny. She was supportive of me and everything that I ever endeavored to do, as well as my dad, of course. But she was always supportive and right there with me every step of the way. And she was incredibly intelligent. She was fluent in French. She loved life. She loved the Lord. And she was a great example to everybody who knew her. She lived out her faith. And
I remember talking with you about her going to treatments and her witnessing to the nurses there.
Yes. Other patients. Just her faith in general, and her perseverance and her resilience and her determination, all of that she drew from her faith. Mm.
Sarah, in this season, a long season of grief, I want you to share maybe some things that you've learned or the ways that God has given you his strength.
It has definitely been a learning experience, and it is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. It's something that it hits you in moments that you don't expect, and it can be the smallest things that can bring back a memory that just stop you in your tracks. And I've learned that it's okay to cry unexpectedly in public and not worry about what other people may think. I've learned that it's okay to, as another dear friend of mine who also lost her mom to cancer in 2009, she also, after a long and lengthy battle, she gave me the encouragement that it's okay to sit with the sadness for a little bit, but don't sit with it too long. And so I've learned that it's okay to sit with the sadness for a little bit, but then I have to take a deep breath and breathe in, breathe out, and move on in that moment, and know that my mom would not want me to be sad for that long. Like I said earlier, a very long road that I don't know will ever fully end, but we have the resurrection hope, and that's been another lesson that I think that I've learned through this. I've heard that phrase for years and years and years, but to really learn what it truly means.
Is there a favorite Bible passage or verse that you might share with us?
One verse, well, I guess it's really two verses that have helped me and helped encourage me through not just the loss of my mom, but other seasons that have been tough, is Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Lord, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for sharing about your mom, about your life, about church. Would you close our time together with prayer?
Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this area of our ministry and the way that we can reach people with your word who may not hear it otherwise, who may not have an opportunity to. And we pray that this would continue to bless all those who listen, and that you would continue to bless our church and the many ministries that we have And we thank you for all of your many blessings. It's in your name we pray. Amen.